If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here, it's officially Monday night, but this will serve as your Tuesday Boneyard. That's right. 3 days, three shows in a row, and we'll knock out another one for Wednesday. So you guys have plenty of listening to do on the way to Grandma's house for Thanksgiving. Yeah, about that. Yeah, your good friend and host stepping up to the plate, trying to give some Dan Mullen quality strain here as we're in Egg Bowl week. A lot to talk about today. Lane Kiffin and some Ole Miss players met with the media. Of course, Mississippi State played a couple of basketball games. So we'll talk about all of that. Got a cool top 10 list for you, too. But some little nugget I stumbled across here. Lane Kiffin made a comment today about how wasn't a lot of players on their team that were there last year for the Egg Bowl and even last 2 years ago. So I thought, you know, let me just take a look at that. So I pulled up the participation list for Ole Miss for the 2023 Egg Bowl. Now, these are kind of unofficially kept. So there may be, you know, a little bit of variance there. But based on what I have uncovered, only five Ole Miss players that played in the 2023 Egg Bowl in Starkville, Mississippi, remain on the roster for 2025. Based on my research, and again, there may, you know, again, I'm dependent on somebody else's research. The one starter, and that's defensive lineman Xavion Harris. And then there's Get Perkins, who's a starter right now. He didn't start in that game, but he started the last couple of years. Great player. Cornerback Chris Graves, linebacker Tyler Banks, and wide receiver Caden Lee. Those five players played in the 2023 Egg Bowl. So they don't have a lot of experience playing in front of cowbells. One of the things that I thought about, and we discussed this on the show some time ago. I think it was after Texas A&M, because we had a chance to eat lunch with the guys that, like, controlled the headsets. Right? When I say the headsets. Communication devices in the helmets. You know, they have to shut those things off, you know, after a while. And so I know, you know, we can ring the cowbells between plays. I don't know that we should ever stop until they're over center. And what I mean by that is, in between plays, they're going to be in a hurry. Like, when you guys begin to stop ringing the cowbells, they're going to try to call the play immediately. And I just wonder if that wouldn't create a bit, you know, of an issue. So rather than, like, stop when the ball is spotted, maybe just keep ringing, you know, for a little while. Yeah, I don't know. You got all offseason to rest your arm. But I think that sets up kind of an interesting dynamic. You know, everybody talks about the cowbells, and we'll get into some of that about what Trinidad Chambliss had to say about the cowbells today. But the reality of it is, you know, most of our Southeastern Conference opponents, most of them, you know, have a large collection of players that have played at Davis-Wade Stadium. You know, it's changed a lot, you know, with the portal. But five players? You know, how do five players prepare the other 100 or so players that may be making the trip, even if they don't dress, for what it's like to play in front of you? Those are the things that I think about. It's already kind of a fragile collective psyche because of all the things that are going on. And listen, I'm going to say this as honestly as I can, and I mean no disrespect to anybody at Ole Miss, but these tweets that have gone out for players, oh, we're all locked in, and, like, somebody pointed out that, you know, like, the quotes were still around, the quotation marks were still around some of the tweets that went out. You know, this is clearly a contrived campaign. It truly is. And listen, I don't knock it because I'm sure that fan base is demoralized. I've had, I don't know, maybe 20 people that either tweeted at me or messaged me, and they're kind of tongue-in-cheek. They're like, hey, Steve, can you get a hold of Lane Kiffin's phone records before the Egg Bowl? Ole Miss people, that is. It's been an interesting week, and I share that with you because as much as I love the rivalry and as much as I love beating Ole Miss, and you may think I'm growing soft in my old age, and maybe I am. I think this has been cruel. I really do. I think it's been a very cruel thing. And, you know, we went through something similar, but not nearly to this magnitude, you know, with Dan Mullen in 2017. You know, we get ready to go play the Egg Bowl, and Dan Mullen, you know, for the better part of a decade, he said, it's a game of the year, game of the year, game of the year. We're going to make special uniforms for this. It's game of the year. And then, you know, the week of the game of the year in 2017, you know, our players are hearing Dan Mullen talk to assistant coaches about going to Tennessee. You know, so Mullen was clearly checked out in that game. I don't care what he says. I don't care. Now, one thing I will say, when Nick Fitzgerald got hurt, Dan Mullen was very much engaged and very angry. I'm on the sidelines, and Mike Nemeth and I both. Paul Brown was with me. And so he's up. Mullen's out there at the 50 just kind of barking at Matt Luke and all them because everybody believes it was intentional, at least those in maroon and white. And so I share that just because of the fact that while Mullen, I think, was checked out in that ball game, he was extremely upset when Nick Fitzgerald got hurt. Extremely upset. But when you begin to think about that aspect of it, like we go into that game with so much on the line, and it wasn't even the playoffs back then. You know, we're playing for something of significance too, and we're favored incredibly in that ball game. State was a huge favorite in that game, and we lose. And that ultimately got Matt Luke the job. Like, A.J. Brown goes to Twitter and says, hey, I want to play for him. I'm not staying if he doesn't stay. So words to that effect, you know. So you think about that. You know, were our players distracted? I remember in the 2019 Egg Bowl, the morning of that, all this news made the rounds. Jim Moorhead had agreed to a buyout, which was completely false. And that started within our own donorship. That didn't start from Ole Miss people. That's our own people. Our own people doing this the day of the Egg Bowl. And I remember having some conversations with John Cohen about that. I said, it's very frustrating. Our own people are creating the distraction. I got players on the Mississippi State roster texting me, DMing me, is this true about Joe? They're trying to get ready for a ball game, but because some of our people, you know, wanted to get out in front of it and kind of express to everybody everything they knew, you know, it was a problem. Thankfully, we won the ball game. But we should have won it handily. I remember when Kobe Jones got that big sack of Matt Corral, I thought, this is it. And then Matt Corral just kind of throws one up for grabs, and they get a guy behind us, and Fred Peters makes a mistake. And then the next thing you know, rather than the game being over, you know, we had – I guess it worked out better. You know, we had the piss and the miss. But all that I understood, I know this without having any proof. I just kind of know it in my spirit, my own countenance. This is a campaign from somebody on the Ole Miss side trying to kind of galvanize the fan base. And again, I don't knock the hustle. I don't. You know, those fans need to have something to feel good about. Man, at least the players are locked in. Our coach may not be, but at least the players are. And listen, they may tell you they're locked in, but they, by their own admission today, it's like it's on social media. Everywhere you look, it is. And it would be only human nature to be distracted. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. Man, I love Bulldog Burger Company. I'm craving some right now. I think I need to get some before I leave town for Thanksgiving. I do. And maybe you need to grab some on your way to Starkville or when you get here. As I say many times, either you're in town or you're on the way to town, Bulldog Burger Company has one of three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Stark Vegas, that's the flagship. Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area, and of course, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer to make you and everybody around you better looking. It's on the menu now. It's been there for years. It's true. You need to have them as part of your beauty care regimen. And find your own favorites on that menu. So many great burgers to choose from, but even if you're not feeling like a burger, there's still something for you on there. We can have those BLT salads. I prefer them grilled. You may like them fried. I try to watch what I eat. That's how I maintain my girly figure. Maybe you should try it grilled next time. I just think it's, it just, to me, it just tastes so much better, right? It does. But even if you're not feeling like a salad, there's going to be something for you on there. I think those chicken wings are probably, as the kids say, kind of a low-key favorite, for sure. And as I've mentioned before, too, you know, get that chocolate shake and ride that ride home with a smile. But also consider Eat With Us gift cards. Visit eatwithus.com. You can just get one for Bulldog Burger Company, or you can get one that's kind of welcome across the whole family of restaurants. It's a great gift idea. Give somebody you love a night out on you, whether it's a date night or a family night. You know somebody that could use a night out of the kitchen and a chance to kind of get out and let Bulldog Burger Company or one of the Eat With Us restaurants take care of them. Think about that when you're considering your very difficult to buy for friends, neighbors, or family members a gift card from eatwithus.com. All right, let's jump right in here. Lane Kiffin, guys, this was a very awkward press conference, and I had some friends down in Baton Rouge. You know, I lived there for a while. We're going to talk about that a lot more in just a little bit. But I lived down there for 16 years, so I got a lot of friends that are still there, a lot of people that are in sports, a lot of people that work at OSU. I got some people that I went to church with for years at Estruma, and which stands for Red Stick. They're like, hey, man, he just looks very uncomfortable in his press conference. And I said, hey, don't read anything into that, okay? And this is not me taking a shot at Lane Kiffin. He does have a little social awkwardness. He does. Guy's a hell of a football coach, don't get me wrong. But there are a lot of times on these press conferences, and I only really watch the ones of significance, the ones that are about Mississippi State, or if there's a big game, they lose or something. But he always looks a little bit socially awkward. And again, that's just how it is. And so I think some people are like, oh, he just looks so uncomfortable up there. He got peppered a little bit with questions. Now, one of the things that he said after he gave his opening statement about Mississippi State, he was very complimentary about the job that Coach Jeff Levy's done. I think a lot of that's tongue-in-cheek. I mean, there's really no love lost between the two of them. But he goes, hey, he put them in a position where those guys are competing. They took Texas and Tennessee to overtime at home, you know. And so those things are all true. But a lot of the questions he didn't answer. And he said at the end of his opening statement, guys, I know you may have some other questions, and I'm paraphrasing, but really I'm here to answer questions about the game, our team, our season, or our players. And he got multiple questions about finishing the season, about you know, other jobs or whatever, and he was very polite about it. I could tell he got a little bit irritated later, and I don't know who the reporter was. There was one person in particular that kind of kept asking him the same question in different ways, trying to get a response. And finally he goes, you know, that's three of them now. You know, do you want to ask another one? You know, I've answered you the same way, that not going to answer those kinds of questions. And if I'm an Ole Miss fan, that does not build up any currency with me at all, right? Everybody wants to have some level of assurance one way or the other. And there's a lot of Ole Miss people tonight, like, I don't even want him to coach the Egg Bowl. I don't even want him to do it. I'd rather just go ahead, cut him loose, and let somebody else do it. And I don't know how the whole buyout thing works. I don't know how Lane Kiffin's current contract is structured. I had a copy of the original, and I can't find it. But, I mean, who keeps up with that stuff, right? But I did speak to a couple people over the weekend with knowledge of these college coaching contracts. And in many of the contracts, and every one of them could be a little bit different, the language of the contract could be somewhat different, right? Especially after you've won it someplace, the deal gets a lot more friendly towards the coach, right? But both of them said most contracts, you know, require you to finish the regular season to be eligible for, like, your bowl bonus. And maybe perhaps Lane Kiffin has a playoff bonus or whatever. I don't know. Again, I don't know how his deal is structured. But, you know, a lot of people are like, hey, if he's going to go, why didn't he just go? That may be a part of the equation. It may be a scenario where he's like, hey, I want to finish out the regular season. I want to honor my contract. I don't want to be in breach. Right? And at the end of the day, too, I do think he cares about his players. I do think he wants to beat Jeff Levy again, too. But I do think there is likely, again, it's my opinion, likely a financial component to this that is kind of driving the train a little bit too. And again, I have quizzed a couple of people that have been in a negotiation of college athletic contracts, and they say it's pretty standard, but for a longer standing coach, sometimes these restrictions are relaxed a little bit. And so if that's the case, and again, with not seeing the language in Lane Kiffin's full contract, because what's released to the media is not the full contract, right? You have to go FOIA that. Or somebody else will FOIA it and then give it to you, which is what happened in my case. But there is typically some language about that sort of thing. And that may explain a lot. You know, it may be a situation where last Friday that Lane Kiffin and his representation told Keith Carter, hey, I'm going to finish out the regular season and then I'm going to make a decision on where I want to go. I still go back to the whole thing. If Lane Kiffin planned to stay at Ole Miss, they wouldn't put the fan base through this. And I don't know if you saw Paul Feinbaum's comments. I think he was on with Greg McElroy and Cole Kubelik. That was it showed up on my phone earlier. Somebody shared it. And I agree with Paul Feinbaum. He's really, if he plans to return, he has injured his relationship in such a way with Ole Miss fans, I don't know that they could ever trust him again. He has done them a disservice. I think we can all agree with that. Now, some of you are very happy about that, right? And the rival in me, I kind of snicker at that a little bit too. But I also know that I know right and wrong, right? And that's not the right thing to do. I feel almost dirty saying this. But these Ole Miss folks have been great to Lane Kiffin. They have been. Now, maybe they didn't show up as much in the non-conference games as he would like. You know, he's complained about that a lot. But they have compensated him handsomely. They have answered the bell for the NIL thing. And we're light years ahead of us in the beginning. You know, we kind of reacted and started getting caught up. But let's be honest, that they had an infrastructure pretty much in place before anybody. And so you can't fault Ole Miss fans for being upset that the guy that they've invested in is kind of betraying them. There's some truth in that. It's interesting, too. I kind of looking at some of the player comments, and I'll have that story up in the morning. Before you guys get up and get moving, that will already be published. We'll publish that in the early morning hours. We're still working through our basketball content for the day, and we'll talk some more about that here shortly. But a couple things I wanted to give you, that the Ole Miss players have said, about coming over here and playing. They only made two players available today, quarterback Trinidad Chambliss. And let me back up a second here. Okay, Lane Kiffin said that there was that Tom Luke gets up and gives his speech and said he got knocked out of a ball game against Mississippi State and some of our fans were calling the hospital to let him know they lost the game. Some of our fans were like calling him like talking trash and stuff. Now, I don't know if I believe that or not. If you were one of those people that did, reach out to me and we can talk about that anonymously. And I'm happy to kind of write the story. If it didn't happen, we'd like to refute the story. There's enough great stories in the rivalry not to make anything up. And again, I don't know Tom Luke personally. I just remember him playing at Ole Miss. Played quarterback, was a good player. But he gets up every year and gives this speech about the Egg Bowl. I would venture to say there's probably not too many people on the planet that know as much about the Egg Bowl than me. There are a couple people out there, Rick Cleveland, of course, and Jeff Robertson. Probably a handful of people that have the same level of knowledge that I do about this rivalry. But we didn't play in it, right? We just kind of witnessed it, and we've researched it historically. But Chambliss spoke about that, about how Luke gave an emotional speech and talked about the history of the Egg Bowl. But he made a comment I thought was interesting. Because you never know. We talk about, guys are locked in, right? He said, I've played in rivalry games. Grand Valley State versus Ferris State is a pretty big Division II rivalry. It's probably not as big as the Egg Bowl. Are you kidding me? Is that real? That's what he said. I transcribed it myself. It's probably not as big as the Egg Bowl, a Division II rivalry. And listen, it may not be, kind of malicious, to say that, but it's almost like he didn't get it. They asked him about the cowbells. He said, I've heard that cowbells ring every play, whether they are on offense or we're on offense, they just keep ringing them. If we get up on them early, then the ringing will stop. The ringing will stop. That's you. That's your cue right there. TJ Daugherty, you know, I don't know anything about this young man except that he is their leading tackler on defense, and he seems to be a solid guy. I mean, just the way kind of he carries himself. There's a certain level of humility with him. And I don't know that I expected that, but they were asking him about kind of educating other players about the rivalry. And he goes, I didn't grow up in it, so I saw it from the guys who grew up here. They grew up with the hatred for this rivalry. It showed me that maybe I can instill that in younger guys and guys who transferred like me that really don't know too much about it. You get here and you see this is one of the biggest rivalries in college football. Yeah, that's true. That's true. He told him right. And then he was specifically asked a little bit about Kamario Taylor, about, you know, the element. And this is where I think that some of our fans maybe aren't being fair to Jeff Lebby about the quarterback situation. Now, we fully expect Blake Shapen to start. We've seen a lot of Kamario Taylor in the second half of the year. And I think Kamario has probably played more than we expected and probably more than he expected. But Daugherty says this about KT. I definitely feel like that changes the game and the dynamic of how athletic he is. His physical capabilities, just running the ball, adds another factor to the game. He has a live arm as well. It definitely adds another element to the game to be able to contain and spy the quarterback. You have to continue keeping the edges set when he is in the backfield at quarterback. End of quote. So clearly they are aware of the explosiveness of Kamario Taylor. And so the fact that we played two quarterbacks, you got to have two game plans. And we can talk about how we're running the same offense, but the offense is just simply different. Yeah, Blake has a skill set that's a little different than KT. Each one has their own strength. And so you have put Ole Miss on a short work week in a situation where they're having to kind of simulate what KT could be. It's a little different dynamic. It is. And so rather than get locked in on the tendencies of one quarterback, they're having to kind of study and prepare for two. I like that aspect of it. I do. Because Blake and KT are different, right? You guys see it, and I don't mean in a negative way. They're just some thing. KT is a plus runner. Blake is not. Blake is a capable runner, but he's not a plus runner. Blake is probably the better passer at this point because he's played 4 years of major college football, right? KT was in the playoffs last year at Noxubee County High School. And listen, KT's a superstar. KT is going to, the future of this program will build around him. But I don't know that I would want to rush him out there in front of a sellout crowd, even at home in a game like this as the starter. Not saying he doesn't get a bunch of snaps on Friday, but I think especially as we've had some great success scripting out those first drives and finding a way to get points on the scoreboard early to kind of get us off and running. Where we have struggled is when we've been able to get a lead and not get separation. You go out and you score, and then you don't really score again until late in the second quarter or early third quarter. You know what I'm talking about. You've experienced the same season I have. But I do like the fact that we're kind of in their heads a little bit, kind of wondering what we're going to do. When does Taylor come into the game? Is he going to run the football? Is he going to throw the football? And he's thrown it some, as you guys are well aware, and thrown it well at times. Other times, you know, he's just kind of thrown the ball away. There were, you know, that second drive at Arkansas, he looked a little bit more like a freshman. And again, as I said then, I think when he went out there, it's just like, hey, you didn't have time to think about it, right? You just got to go out there and react and play, let your natural instincts take over. And then you've got a full defensive possession to kind of sit over there and observe and then kind of realize, oh, smokes, I got to go back in here. Blake's still in the tent, right? And so I think that was an element of it. But there's all that Kamario Taylor needs is reps, right? He has all the athletic ability. He is an incredible competitor. He just a guy that needs to get out there at this level with this speed of the game and just kind of learn, right? And it's a little late in the year for that. You know, he's going to be your first team quarterback, more than likely, day one of spring. Not exactly sure what Luke Krobenhock's going to do. I've had some people tell me he absolutely loves it here and plans to be back here next year, which would save us a lot of time, effort, and money, you know, to have a quality, serviceable number two. But I begin to think about that aspect of it too. Both of them would be sophomores next year, and there's no spring portal. So that's something Luke's got to figure out, you know. We'll see how that kind of plays out. But that's your comments on from the Ole Miss side today. And again, if you get a chance, I think it's about 13 minutes. It wouldn't hurt you to watch that Lane Kiffin press conference just because of the fact I think you're going to see it got a little bit testy later in the press conference. And the one thing that I know after being in this industry nearly 30 years, when the media that covers you begins to kind of take a shift, right? They make a shift here, kind of take a left turn, and all of a sudden they're more in line with the fans, more so than the direction of the program, right? That's never a great thing. Because before, they would be the guys that would go to the press conference and come back and explain to the fans, okay, well, here's why we did this, and here's why we did that. Now you're seeing the reverse of that. And that's the advocacy of a fan, or the dual nature of a journalist, and I use that term very loosely in this situation. You're kind of the go-between between the program and the public. But all of a sudden, it's now shifted where most of the questions now are based on the sentiment of the fan base. And in times like these, that's what matters. I wasn't sure how many questions he was going to get about Mississippi State. And he didn't get very many. He got a couple questions about Trinidad. He got a couple questions about William Eccles. I guess one about William Eccles. But most everything else, in many respects, was just about the importance of the game, kind of what's in front of him. One guy asked him, do you want to finish the season with the team? And Lane looked at him kind of like, well, of course. You know, I'd never thought otherwise. I think it was Brad Logan that asked, hey, you're two wins away from passing Johnny Vaught in all-time winning percentage at Ole Miss. How important is that to you? And Lane's like, I didn't know that statistic. But, yeah, that'd be super cool. It's very historic. But, again, he's very noncommittal and almost a little bit cagey about all this stuff. And, again, I don't know who the reporter was, but he says, hey, you've asked three questions like that. And you can tell he was getting agitated. And so I just wonder, you know, what's next? You know, there will be no teleconference this week. So we have heard from the Mississippi State Bulldogs, and I assume from the Ole Miss Rebels. They typically have their player availability on Tuesday. They did it all today, I think. I don't know that we're going to see anybody else the rest of the week. And so that's an important aspect of this, too. We have heard probably the final word from Lane Kiffin until postgame on Friday. And that's probably, if you're Ole Miss, that's probably a good thing. You know, and again, there's some fans out there rooting for him not to even coach that game. But if you're Keith Carter, you're probably like, you know what, we don't have to answer any more questions. We don't have to get on a teleconference. And that teleconference last week, with Lane Kiffin, was rough. It was rough. Today wasn't so rough, and I think a lot of it's because Lane had probably been prepared. Like, hey, this is what we want to talk about. You know, the media can ask whatever questions they want. You know, you can't have – well, you can tell everybody, hey, we're not going to entertain these questions, but you can still ask them. You know, it's up to them to answer them or not. And I do think the Ole Miss media got a little bit creative today, trying to get a response for those fans, but really nothing really brewing in that respect. All right, it's time for our Close with Blair Player of the Day. Of course, Player of the Day brought to you by Close with Blair, C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. You know the name well, you should. Let me give you Blair's phone number. We're all friends here. We might as well have each other's numbers. Blair's number is 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Save that number in your phone as mortgage guy. You may forget his name is Blair Chandler, but when you need mortgage help, you'll have the name and number readily available, right? Blair's closing a couple Boneyard loans in December. That's several this year. And we get a lot of great reviews, too, from our listeners that say, you know what, Blair was great. Thanks so much for having him part of the show. I couldn't do it without him. Love Blair to death. Very happy for him and the changes in his life. And still love everybody else in his family. But I can tell you, happy for him. But Blair can make you happy, too. Whether you're having a lifestyle change, maybe things have happened in your life that you know, you've got to pick up and move, or maybe you've had a job change, whatever, relationship change, let him do some of the heavy lifting for you. Get his 25 years of expertise and know-how working for you in a very complicated industry. Nobody stays in that meat grinder of a job without closing loans, thus the name Close with Blair. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair Chandler, the only name to know. And he can also help you check out that game day condo that you've always wanted. It may prove to be more affordable than you think. Let him be your advocate with underwriting. That's Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Okay. I spent 18 years of my life living in Louisiana. And got some great friends down there and across there, and I feel that my life was enriched by the experience. I lost a tremendous amount of weight when I returned home to Mississippi. Nothing against our food here, but everything over there is kind of gravy-based, and every weekend there's a festival somewhere that you got to go to. You know, you got the Italian Meat Festival in Independence. Of course, you got the Crawfish Festival down in Bro Bridge. Mardi Gras. I mean, they love to have a good time. So if you know somebody that is considering moving to Louisiana, I mean, just randomly, you know, what if you know somebody that, you know, maybe having, you're getting a new job and moving to Louisiana? I want to give a little insight here. Number one, Baton Rouge is great. There's some parts of Baton Rouge you got to be careful of, right? But Baton Rouge is great. The people are great. They like to have a good time down there. They do. That's a 225 area code. It used to all be 504. The whole state, kind of like Mississippi used to always be 601. You got the 225s there, Baton Rouge, the 504s down around New Orleans. And listen, tell your friend, they don't say Nolens down there. They don't. That no people will look at you like you're just ridiculous if you say Nolens. Nobody says Nolens. It's New Orleans. It's not Nolens. Nobody says that. I don't know where they got started. Nobody talks that way down there. Period. You're going to get yourself messed up. You get on your chair kicking around. It's good to be in Nolens. You're going to get robbed. I'm just telling you. Don't do it. Then you got the 337s over there across the Chafalaya Basin. You got that bridge between Baton Rouge and it stops at Henderson. And for those of you that are unfamiliar, arguably the best seafood restaurant in the United States is in Henderson. Pat's in Henderson. A lot of people go over to Karen Crow to go to Praise John's, and that's great too. It's great, but it's not Pat's and Henderson. That's where the locals go to eat. They don't do a lot of advertising, but man, they do a lot of business. And then, of course, you got your 318s, you know, really north, I guess, of 190, I guess. But, you know, and like you have Alexandria, but nobody calls it Alexandria. They call it Alec. And some people confuse that and they call it Alec Box. It's not Alec Box. It's Alex Box. It's named after a person. Talked about that on the show before. And that area up there in the extreme northwest corner is called the Arklatex, where Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas come together. I know it's cute, right? But if you get up around northeast Louisiana, you know, up around West Monroe, Natchitoches to a certain extent. I've lived in Natchitoches. Christmas Festival is fabulous. It's a lot like Mississippi, right? So Louisiana is very diverse as a state in dialect. And of course, you know, accents and things like that. You got it's a melting pot the more northern you go. But when you get on 49 and you get to Alexandria and like Bunky and Ville Platte, Opelousas and places like that, it's a little different. And you get out there in the Cajun country and you got to get Tabasco. and you owe yourself the chance to go to that trip at Avery Island and see how Tabasco's made. You can even have some Tabasco ice cream. It's better than you think. But if you're in New Orleans, not New Orleans, but if you're in New Orleans, it's Crystal hot sauce there. And they are very serious about that. So you need to know this before you travel, okay? And sometimes it's important, don't ask too many questions. New Orleans, one of my favorite cities in the world. I love going to New Orleans. I don't like to eat in New Orleans as much as I do maybe Baton Rouge, Lafayette, or Lake Chuck, but it's a little different place. I like taking the vampire tours and the graveyard tours and just kind of soaking in the ambiance of New Orleans. There's some parts you got to be careful. If you look like me, it's a little safer. I'm just going to tell you that, right? Because there's some people down there that are, people are strange. And I'm a little bit strange, too, and they think I'm one of them. So I can kind of walk freely among them, whereas you may not be able to do so. But I wanted to give you a few songs about Louisiana. Just for no reason. Just kind of randomly. Some more songs about Louisiana. Let's start with number 10. I can't remember what Tom Cruise movie it was. One of you will help me. Was it? I don't know. I don't know which one it was. But was it Rain Man? It was Rain Man, yeah. I knew I'd get it. But the Dixie Cups had a big hit called Ico Ico. And there's kind of some Cajun dialect, some slang in the chorus there. My flag boy saw your flag, told your flag boy we're going to set your flag on fire. There's a lot to that. But it's a cool song. It's one of the most famous songs of Mardi Gras. It truly is. Number 9, this song was originally recorded by Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show. But Bobby Bear had the bigger hit with, it's a song about Marie Laveau, who was a voodoo priestess, if I can get it out. That stuff is real, right? And I think it's important that you understand that. It's not something to mess with. There's a statue of her on Bourbon Street in the quarter, and it says, don't touch the statue. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that one of you at some point touched that, and Mississippi State is having to suffer through that. So I don't know what we've got to do to reverse the curse. Maybe we get a coach down there that's, from Mississippi and we have him touch it and then it frees us. I don't know. But I'm willing to try anything at this point. Number 8, I don't like this song as some other people do, but if you ever go to like a true Cajun get-together, everybody gets out and slow dances to this, and it's LaRue's New Orleans Ladies. Whether the ladies are from New Orleans or not, all the women of Louisiana love this song. They do. I think it's just in the DNA. Number 7, a bit of a deeper track, and it's kind of got some synth keyboard effect to it. It's Tom Petty's Louisiana Rain. And it's about a guy that's kind of beaten down. He goes to Baton Rouge, and just important to understand. Number 6, my buddy Blake Dees, the drummer, former drummer of Blacktop Ridge. And we're working together on some stuff kind of when we get time to do it. Once we get through football season, we'll have a little more time to do it before baseball. But he turned me on to this song. I've heard of this band, but I never heard the song before. And I love it. I love it. I haven't sung it at karaoke yet, but at some point I will. It's Band of Heathens, Hurricane. It's an amazing song. And it's very much Louisiana. I would encourage you, before you move down there, learn the words. And there's like some cautionary phrases in there too to kind of let you know, you don't have to worry about those weather forecasters from Illinois. You trust that man down in a quarter. Number 5, this is a great song, and I don't know how many of you know it, but Mark Broussard, and it is Broussard, emphasis on the R, but it's Baton Rouge. We would have Colin Baton Rouge on our list, but Garth Brooks refuses to stream. I don't blame him when you get the money he does. Somebody told me recently, you get 1 million streams, you make $10,000. That's it. That's it. It's crazy to think about that. And that depends on how your deal is structured. Some people get less than that. But you got to get 1 million streams to make 10 grand. It doesn't sound like a lot of money to me. Then you wonder why ticket prices and merchandise prices are so expensive. Number 4, I worked this one in because I love it. And in many respects, I think it may be the first true rock and roll song. I mean, you can check me on that, but we did our Young Bucks, like a Journey into Sound series a couple years ago, and I kind of took you through the decades. In many respects, the rock and roll that you know today really began with Chuck Berry. It truly did. You know, a lot of people say, well, there's Elvis, and that's all true too. But you go back to Johnny B. Goode down in Louisiana, right? Johnny B. Goode rocks. And Chuck Berry rocked. So we're going to work that one in too. And if you've never seen the movie Johnny B. Goode with Anthony Michael Hall, where he's a blue chip quarterback prospect, you owe it to yourself to check it out. All right, number three, it's Creedence Clearwater Revival, who was from California, singing about Born on the Bayou. They weren't, but I can tell you, you know, down the bayou, a lot of good people down there. And there are times that kind of people come up missing down there, nobody says anything. You know, it's just a little different. The river parishes are great. You know, and that's, you know, if you're from Louisiana, you know what I'm talking about. The people down there are great. There's some great football players from down there, too. You know, you get down there around Galliano and Cutoff, Golden Meadow, places like that. I mean, there are people down there that are as good as you'll ever meet. You know, that's where Ed Orgeron's from, as a matter of fact. I mean, ironically, right? I think he's from Cutoff. But I think he was born in Galliano, if memory serves me correct. But, man, there's some great people down there. The Parkettes are absolutely great people. But it's a little different. You know, you get around Destrehan, places like that, it's kind of like where the New Orleans accent kind of meets the country a little bit. Number two, Led Zeppelin. And this is a deep cut, but it's based on an experience that Led Zeppelin had in New Orleans. It's Royal Orleans, and it's about a hotel down there. I've stayed in the Bourbon Orleans, and I think it's worth your time and trouble to go do that too. It's just a cool vibe in New Orleans. I love staying in a quarter. I do. Other people are like, oh, I would never be. I mean, I love being in a quarter. I love it. But number one, and again, for no reason at all, it's Mel McDaniel's Louisiana Saturday Night. You know, and LSU, of course, you know, plays a lot of games Saturday nights. You know, they don't have to play a lot of 11 o'clock games. They don't play a lot of 3:30 games. They get to play at night. They get all day to party and eat jambalaya and that kind of stuff. And so you get down to fiddle, you get down to bow, you kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor, you know, and it's a Louisiana Saturday night. And again, just no reason at all. This just kind of hit me. I thought maybe we'll talk about this today. But, yeah, I loved my time in Louisiana. I'm glad that I had it, but I'm happy to be here. Lived in Baton Rouge a couple times and lived in Lafayette for a while. Lived in Natchitoches for a while, and I've been all over that state. There's probably not a highway I haven't driven down. Got a lot of great friends from out there, and I don't know that I'll ever live there again, but I do enjoy visiting. I truly do. I enjoy going out there visiting, and I love when we play LSU because I get a chance to eat some authentic Cajun food. Played for a men's soccer team down there called the Ambassadors, and we were terrible, but man, we had a lot of fun. We did. My buddy Scott's down there, and every time I go down there, we go eat Raising Cane's, or we go eat at Moulot's, or Prejean, somewhere like that. This is what you do. You know, there's so many great places to eat down there, which is one of the reasons I shouldn't be back down there. I'd be 300 pounds in 2 years if I went back down there. I know what I'm missing now. But if you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanti on X at Dogmatic67, DawgMatic67. And you can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. And I'm on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart, and why? Because they have what we want. What do we want? More Mississippi State merch. Christmas time is coming up. Make all the Bulldogs on your Christmas list happy just by getting more Mississippi State stuff, whether it be that fashionable quarter zip that Dad's had his eye on for a while, or perhaps a new button-up. You can always use a fresh polo, right? Always. That's like church wearing stuff, right? I mean, just you can wear a polo every day if you want and never look out of place. And there's so many other ideas you can get there. All the kids want state stuff too. And the older they get, the more they like it, no matter what they tell you. They want state stuff. Whether they ask for it or not, you can get it for them and have a happy Christmas. You can. If you can't make it to town to see their smiling faces and maybe get your complimentary hug, I always get one. I don't know if you do. I do. That understood. Maybe game day is a tough shopping day for you. And maybe you can't make it to town. Visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Lawyer Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, Beautiful Steve Robertson. Gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. Okay, let's. We've had a good basketball day. We'll start with the ladies. And excited, you know, to get another win. Yeah, the ladies sometimes have been unfairly lumped in with the men who have struggled a little bit this year. The ladies, you know, they've had one loss, and it came on the road in Lubbock against an undefeated team, and some people are like, oh, we need to fire the coach. I don't think that's the case, you know. I mean, that's the reality of life. You're going to lose sometimes. But, you know, ladies win today against Alcorn State. We'll give you a little information here if we can get it to pull up here. We appreciate our folks at healthstate.com kind of streamlining that for us a little bit. But I don't know. Here we go. We'll go the back way around. So State jumps out to a 17-4 lead after one. They put up 17 more in the second quarter. It is 34-14 at the break. And then State outscores them by a point in the third, 16-15, and just kind of coasts to a victory there in the fourth quarter. Alcorn actually wins the final quarter, 22-15. But Bulldogs win the game 65-51, and I think it's smart. You know, Sam, they got to play back-to-back days, and so, you know, Sam played a lot of players in this game and kind of put yourself in a position where you can, you know, you save some legs for tomorrow, right? I mean, that's an important aspect. That's good game management. I mean, you'd love to score 100 points in this game, but the reality of it is you know, you got to play again tomorrow. So Madison Francis, our very talented newcomer, 15 points to lead all scorers in this game. And happy to see that, right? Destiny McFall with 9 off the bench. Carissa Richardson with 10. And, you know, she has been a little bit offensively challenged for us. Good game for her today. That's transfer from Ole Miss. But, you know, Bulldogs 46 rebounds, 18 of them offensive rebounds, 28 on the defensive side. And then 17 of 27 from the free throw line, 8 of 28 from behind the arc, and 20 of 57 from the floor. So, hey, you go out there, you take care of business. And this was really not much of a game for very long. You know, the lead changed hands twice in the early going, and then from there, State cruises to a relatively easy victory here. State shoots 33% in that first quarter, and they hold Alcorn State to 15%. Just 2 made baskets in that first quarter. So, you know, Bulldogs getting after it, and now you kind of, you know, look ahead to what's next. Bulldogs are now 5-1 on the year. So tomorrow, the Lady Bulldogs back in action against Middle Tennessee State. Middle, you know, wins their half of the game here, so it'll be a winner's bracket game tomorrow. In the, Emerald Coast Classic? Yeah, we'll take that, you know. That's any time that you get a chance to go play, right? Any time you get a chance to go play and get a chance to go get a win, you know, that's it's an important game. You know, we want to win games. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And the more games we win, the more confidence that you're able to build. That's an important aspect of this thing, too. Building confidence. There's a lot of, you know, games out there that you give away, and fortunately the ladies have not done that yet. Middle is 3-3 on the year, and they've played Tennessee, got shelled pretty good there, 85-41. And then they take care of Providence earlier today, 54-48. So again, State will take on Middle, the Blue Raiders, and see if we can't advance our record again. Just real quickly here, just kind of looking at some statistics here from the game. Alana Contreras leads them at 14.2 points a game. Blair Bagas with a dozen points a game, and Savannah Davis with 11. So, again, three very reputable scorers here, all scoring in double figures. And it looks like this is a team, too, that doesn't shoot the three exceptionally well, but they defend it pretty well. So, at the end of the day, we ought to be able to go out here and out-athlete them, but I'm just happy to get a dub here and happy to keep moving along. I know you guys feel the same way. On the men's side, wasn't too long ago, this game went final. It goes to overtime. And, man, you talk about a game that was ugly for much of the game. And when we took breaks recording the show, I'd go check in, and sometimes I'd just turn it off. I just, my goodness, man, it's like, I thought we were going to lose. I'm not going to lie. I thought we were going to lose, and I thought I'm going to have to get on this show, and we're going to talk about these things, and we're not going to feel good about how it all went down. But, the Bulldogs end up winning this game, and it took a big shot late. I'll take you through the final couple of sequences just so you guys kind of know how State pulled one out of the fire. You know, that's the thing you begin to think about. You know, it's just like, it's nuts, man. All right, so real quickly, UNO led for 30 minutes of this game. Exactly 30-31. State only leads for just right at 11 minutes. It's just absolutely nuts. You know, State gets out, you kind of have a modest lead, and next thing you know, UNO comes roaring to lead at that break, 34-28. State has to have a late flurry to force an overtime here. And, you don't want to hear that, but that's, it's good that we're making some big baskets late, and an ugly win is still a win. A win's a win, as Timmy Bowers tweeted out. I retweeted that, and we're happy to do that. But, man, under 4 minutes to go, State's down 8. And you think, you know what, this thing's not going to go our way. And then we start creeping back and creeping back and creeping back. And then Hubbard makes a three-pointer to tie the game, and he's fouled, makes the free throw. They go to the other end. We foul. They make both free throws. Now it's a one-point lead for UNO with 22 seconds to go. They foul Sean Jones with just 3 seconds left, and he makes one of two, and they make a loud desperation heave. So we go to overtime. And you think, okay, we'll put them away here. We did, but it wasn't what you might think. So all of a sudden, State gets out here and kind of gets rolling a little bit. And, you're up a couple. Then they get a three-point basket. Colton Benson, we talked about him on our preview, a three-point marksman. He gives them a one-point lead. Well, Josh Hubbard answers. And now State has a two-point lead as we approach 3 minutes. State gets loose. Amir Ali with a heave on a rebound gives State a four-point lead, and we're not done talking about Amir Ali. All of a sudden, you look up late, and it's a 78-78 game because Colton Benson, again, with 29 seconds to go, makes a three-point basket to tie the game. And with about 2 seconds left, Amir Ali hits a three bank shot that ultimately proves to be the game winner. So your Bulldogs win. Wasn't pretty. We won the game. And the way that we played here as of late, you can learn a lesson without losing the game. We needed to get this dub. We got it. It wasn't pretty. I'll say it again. But Josh Hubbard with 28 points tonight, 5 of 12 from beyond the arc, 9 of 21 from the floor. Also had 4 turnovers in the game. Jabbar McGee, 16 points for him. That's good. But kind of a coming out party for Amir Ali, who had 16 points tonight, and none bigger than those three. None bigger than those three that he hit with just seconds to go in the game. And again, Hub with the big three, Amir Ali with the big three, and there was a time we couldn't shoot. But the Bulldogs wouldn't quit. And again, 22 points off the bench, 26 points in the paint, 14 off turnovers. There's so many things here you look at and you could pick apart, but at the end of the day, we won the game. We won the game, period. Still had 14 turnovers. Better than we have been, but we got to get better than that. But we win the game. And as you guys are aware, Bulldogs be back in action on Friday at 6 p.m. If you haven't secured your tickets, I would encourage you to do so. We're going to play the Egg Bowl, get the Golden Egg back, take a little bit of a break, head over to Humphrey Coliseum, and see if we can't win a basketball game against a P4 team. And again, I don't know if there's a fatal flaw with this team, but Chris Jans has got to figure some things out. Again, credit to Bulldogs for a couple of big shots at the end of regulation and the end of overtime to win this game, a game that they trailed throughout for the most part. So we're not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. We didn't get lucky here. We made some shots when we had to. But, man, how are we struggling this much in non-conference? I mean, LSU absolutely drills this team. You know, I'm not going to sit here and lament this and be all self-loathing, but the reality of it is you know, we've got some things to figure out on the men's basketball front. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle without any question. Without question. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group, and you should. You've always dreamed of it. You've seen the movies and the TV shows. And wouldn't it be great to rent a house and get everybody together under one roof? Well, you can. You can. Yeah. You can spend a couple nights together, whether it's midweek or weekend. It's open 365 days a year. You just got to make sure you reserve it. Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can look at the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. In addition, some booking options are going to come up. Airbnb, VRBO, you can go that route if you want to. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. What's great about the place, you get the full-service kitchen. You get the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, 6 bedrooms, 2, soon to be 3 baths, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, and a very expansive parking lot. It's the old renovated country club clubhouse out past the Highlands on 182. So easy to get to. You can do your tailgate right there. Go over there and watch a ball game and get back, and you don't have to lug all that stuff back and forth to campus. I know the social aspect of it's important, but sometimes you don't feel like doing that. You know, and so it'd be nice to be able to have a place where you can maybe fire up the grill and do some cooking right there. And that's what Mom wants to do anyway. Mom would love to have a weekend off, but she loves cooking for those kids. Give her the opportunity to cook for everybody. Get everybody under one roof. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Again, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, we got a little clarity on this Learfield Facebook thing. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the week, but the Facebook logo is going to be on our field as part of a corporate partnership this year. And then it'll be at the Egg Bowl next year in Oxford. And it means money, obviously. I don't know that I agree with them saying, well, this gives, you know, makes it a bigger stage. I don't know if that's possible, right? It's a national broadcast on ABC. But, yeah, so, and some people aren't going to like this in Starkville, but I'm going to say it for what it is. It was a very poorly executed message. Your messaging matters, and they could have avoided a lot of the social media angst by just being a little more sure about that. And I got some friends at work over there, and they're not gonna like me saying that, but I've already told one of them, I said, you know, this is on you guys. This is not about the rest of us in the media that commented on it. You know, you guys got to clarify that message a little bit. So we have some clarity now. And again, it was like the logo they pushed out had both Mississippi State and Ole Miss on it, on the graphic. Well, the graphic's not what's going to be on the field. It's the Facebook logo. And so, but it's a chance for both schools to make some money, and that's a good thing. So, hey, good on them for making that happen, even though the messaging could have been a little clearer. You've also seen, too, that Mississippi State, Auburn, LSU, and others are going to have Zach Bryan coming to town. That's a big deal. You know, we signed that recent partnership to get more concerts to Starkville, which is something you talk about, some low-hanging fruit that we've just passed on. You know, it just doesn't make any sense to me that, you know, that just you got the hump sitting there empty throughout the year when you're not playing basketball, and you could do some shows. I think one of the last ones we did there was ZZ Top, and that's been years ago. But, yeah, Zach Bryan, with having on tour, is going to be coming to Starkville Saturday, May the 2nd. And you can start buying your tickets on Friday, December the 5th at 11 a.m. So that's 11 days. So if you're thinking about, hey, some other tickets, you know, some other opportunities, right, to have a great Christmas gift, this is it. Now, some people wondered, you know, how reasonable the ticket's going to be. Well, I can tell you, based on what they show right here, the beginning price is $29, and the highest is $436. There'll be a lot of price points in between. So I suspect, because it's going to be in the stadium, that you know, upper deck type tickets, $29. But you'll be in the venue. So there are a lot of people that are thinking about that. It's just interesting. You know, we should have done this a long time ago, but we're doing it now. So we're not going to conduct an autopsy and figure out who's to blame. So many of you wondered, oh, it's going to be in the hundreds of dollars. Well, if you want premium seating, yes, it is. But if you just want to go to the show, you're going to be able to do that at a very affordable price. And again, they're playing at Auburn, LSU, and Mississippi State. I didn't look at the whole dates, but you can get 8 per account when you buy tickets. And so for those of you that are thinking, hey, this is going to be out of a price range, man, about $30, okay? So that's worth your time and trouble to kind of check out. And again, I'm glad that we have some forward thinkers that are like utilizing the fact that we are a college town and that we do have a good infrastructure here. We've got a lot of people that would love to be able to attend an event like that. I mean, you see all the tailgates, man, like everybody's playing country music, you know, for the most part. And so, and that's the thing too. I'd love for more rock shows to come here, but listen, I know where I live, okay? And I understand how all this stuff works, but that's a big deal. So again, 11 days from now, set a reminder on your phone. It's Friday, December the 5th, 11 a.m. when tickets go on sale. And again, starting at $29. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And so, you know, I can't make any promises, but I suspect that if you really want to go to this show, you're going to be able to do it without having to go, you know, sell a kidney or something. And again, we've had a lot of people that have done some really cool stuff to make big events come to Starkville. I can only begin to imagine the economic impact an event like this is going to happen in Starkville. And it's super cool. I mean, I'm not a Zach Bryan guy, but I know many of you are, guys and gals. And so come join us. And Saturday, May the 2nd, but you know, you got to get those tickets well in advance. And if I hadn't told you guys, me and Roy are going to see Iron Maiden, Megadeth, and Anthrax in San Antonio in September. I may have told you, but there's, you know, Motley Crue is now going out with Extreme and Tesla, and I love all those bands. I got to consider that. Bad Omens going out with Asking Alexandria and others. I got to consider that. I hadn't been to many shows in the last couple of years. I mean, since we've opened another business, I don't feel right about going without Dana. But Roy and I are going to take a guys trip out there and just go enjoy probably the last time that we're going to have an opportunity to see all these bands, especially together. You know, Maiden will probably tour until they're done. But you know, Megadeth are already ready to hang them up. And so it's an opportunity for us to go see 3 of the great rock bands of all time at one venue. And encourage you to, you know, when you begin to think about Egg Bowl traffic, okay, we hadn't played many of these 11 a.m. games. And so let me remind you now, this isn't going to be the typical 11 a.m. game. In the past, you're like, oh, we'll just kind of mosey on up there. You know, it'll be Stephen F. Austin or whatever. There won't be a lot of people on campus until right before kickoff. There are going to be a lot of people in town the night before and the morning of. So if you think, it'll just be like normal, it's not going to be normal. It's a sellout crowd. And you remember how much trouble it was getting in and out of the stadium campus area after Arizona State. Plan ahead. Make sure you know where you're going. There's going to be a lot of people that haven't been on campus in a couple years. And there are going to be some Bulldogs that show up too that hadn't been in a long time too, but are coming because it's the Egg Bowl. Be mindful of that. There will be other people that will slow you down. Won't be your fault, but you'll have to deal with it. In addition to that, reminder, because of long lines, go ahead and move your tickets to your wallet, your Apple wallet, whatever you've got on Google Play. Go ahead and download your tickets and move them to your wallet. Have them ready to scan as you come through, because if everybody, oh, I forgot to download them, you know, you get 10 of those people out of 100, man, you got a bunch of mad people. So let's go ahead and begin to kind of prepare to make it easy to get into the stadium on Friday. There are going to be some people that show up early and tailgate, and they're going to kind of just mosey over after kickoff, but I know that's not you. You want to get things going. So let's plan ahead. Let's leave early. And listen, sweetheart, I can talk to you because you can't talk back to me, okay? Listen to me. You know how he gets, okay? You know how it is. I know you want to look nice when you come up here. It's a morning game. There's no obligation. You don't have to go get something great. You're cute enough, right? But you can help us all, and mainly yourself. Just go ahead and lay everything out the night before. Go ahead and do it. Lay it out. You don't have to change two or three times. Just go ahead and lay it out. And listen, encourage him, because he'll listen to you. He won't listen to me because he's stubborn. You know, male-to-male advice sometimes is not always well-received. But you tell him, hey, baby, it's going to be pretty crazy up there. Why don't we leave a little early? Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and get up a little bit early, and I'm going to be ready to go an hour early. You're giving yourself a gift. Because you know what's going to happen. He's going to be driving over curbs. He's going to be flipping people off, honking a horn. Everybody's anxiety is going to be up, and it's going to be so miserable because everybody's so hyped about the game and hopeful that we win. The anxiety is already going to be higher than it normally is. But the reality of it is we can all help each other by being prepared, and I'm depending on you to help him manage that anxiety a little bit. You could say, but Steve, don't but Steve me nothing. You know how life works. Don't give me all that BS. You know how it works. Well, let's get out of here. And we'll be back tomorrow, probably tomorrow night. Because, again, this is Monday night. This is your Tuesday show. But I'll probably record your Wednesday show Tuesday night. Probably. You just never know what could happen. You just never know what could happen. It's Egg Bowl week, baby. If you haven't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com. You can get signed copies of all my sports titles. Of course, that's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile, The Dude, and the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. You need it personalized. We can get that handled for you, too. In addition to that, come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. Yeah. You could dial 662-268-7601. You said, but see, what's floating? Well, you know, if you hadn't heard by now, go check it out at truerest.com. It's my wife and I's second business. She runs it. It's basically her business. I just help sign for everything. You know, but she runs the show. She loves it. It's been a very, very busy week. We got some float packages that are available now as part of a Black Friday special. So that can be a great date night situation for you. Or it could be just a situation where you need a break, or maybe you've got chronic anxiety or pain and need some relief. We may be able to help you. We've helped many others. And again, tonight, for 6 days, beginning at 11 p.m. Central, 75% off the annual subscription price at jeanspage.com. 75% off. 11 p.m. tonight. It's going to run for 6 days. Our best deal of the year. Won't last forever. Be sure and take full advantage of that. Until next time. Let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.